And who preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ? You, me. When we're at work, not doing work time, on your break, opportunity arises, the doors open, what do we need to do? Proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to who? To a lost world. A world that is going to hell by the millions.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. When Raul first began sharing the gospel with his friends and family, many of them rejected his message. But as he persisted, over time, he's seen his loved ones' resistance turn to repentance. For a free DVD of Raul's testimony, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We're so glad you've joined us for Raul's continuing study of our unique, God-given callings as Christians. Today you'll get a challenge to consider how proactive you are about sharing your hope of eternity within your sphere of influence. You know, it's easy to think of evangelism as a job for missionaries, but as we'll hear today from Christ's commissioning of his disciples, we are all divinely appointed witnesses of the gospel. Today's lesson is titled, The Apostles' Mission. Here's Raul Reese now in Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 5.
In each one of our lives, when you think about the instruction and the mission that was given to each one of the disciples, 12 of them, one was the devil, Judas, that this is not, in chapter 10, this is not the same great commission that is given in chapter 28, verses 15 to 20. Totally different. This is now the beginning when Jesus is gathering together his disciples and he's calling them to go not to the Samaritans, not to go to the Gentiles, but to go to the house of Israel. Real important. Because Israel were God's people and they were called by God. And we will see that because of the Sadducees and the Pharisees rejecting the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and rejecting him as the Messiah, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, that they had to go through great persecution when Titus came in 70 AD and killed 1.2 million Jews and 90,000 were taken into captivity. And you think they would have learned going back, as he will talk to us in a moment, where the actual Samaritans came from. They were half-breeds, half Jew, half Gentile. And it was amazing because in 722 BC, when the northern kingdom of Israel was taken into captivity by the Babylonians for 70 years, at that particular moment in time, what happened is that they were taken into captivity. And while in Babylon, when they came back, they actually came back with half regeneration where they were half Jewish and half Babylonian. And they became the Samaritans, the half-breeds that Jesus talks about here. And Jesus one day will take the gospel to them and to the Gentiles, but at this particular time, it's to the house of Israel, to God's own people. And check this out. Let's begin by reading chapter 10 at verse 5. It begins. He says that these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter into the city of the Samaritans. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs. For a worker is worthy of his food. And now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who is in it worthy and stay there until you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. And if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from the house of that city, shake the dust off your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Wow. That's a long thing that Jesus brings about here. But I really believe that it's not just now speaking to Israel, but he will speak to each one of us here this morning at the same time. Because this is now the call of the 12. And God is actually appointing to them, giving them instructions about the people of Israel, sending them with the gospel of Jesus Christ as missionaries. So to make sure that Israel does get the gospel, and if they reject the gospel, it will be their own fault. And yet here, Jesus, in giving his mission specifically to each one of the disciples, including Judas Iscariot, they will literally deny the Lord, and Satan will possess him at the end of the ministry. He's there among the 11 receiving orders. Notice, first of all, in the first observation here for this morning, the apostles' mission, chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. He says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them. That word to command is a word that is used by the military. It's not whether you want to do it or not. No, it's a direct order given by the chief commander to that unit or to those troops in what they need to do. And so it's interesting here that in the Greek language, it's not just a command, but it's a command with authority. As Jesus is commanding these 12 men, first of all, not to go into the way of the Gentiles and not to enter a city of the Samaritans. Because it was not time yet for the Gentiles and it was not time for the Samaritans. Later on, as you read through the Bible, you go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 4, you will see that Jesus, going through Samaria, he stops at a well, Jacob's well, to get some water with his disciples. And a woman just happens to come up at noontime as the disciples went to the town to get something to eat for Jesus and for themselves. And Jesus begins to speak to this woman. There was a searcher, and Jesus told the woman, look, if you get water from this well, which is 100 feet deep, you will thirst again. But if you come to me, the water that I give to you, you'll never come again here. You will what? You will receive water that will be spiritually satisfying to your soul. When she heard the truth about the Lord, the Bible says that she went back to the town and the whole town was evangelized by her, and she brought the whole town out to meet Jesus at the well. God doesn't just use men, he uses women too. Women had a big part of ministry in the life of Jesus. They took care of him and the disciples. And I love this great command that is given here because they are many people that don't get that command in their own minds and hearts. And yet even as he's calling the disciples or the apostles now to not to go into the way of the Gentiles and not to go into the city of Samaria because there were half-breeds, it was not yet time for them to receive the gospel. He says directly in verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, every time I go to Israel, my heart just pours out upon the Jews. After 2,000 years of being scattered on May 14, 1948, brought them back and made that day a day of independence for the Jewish nation of Israel. And Israel today is still lost because they rejected God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. But it doesn't mean, like so many people would say, that God has cast them away. No way. God still loves Israel. And there's a day coming when God is going to deal with the house of Israel one more time. One more time. very soon. Right after the rapture of the church, when the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is taken to heaven, in the last 7 years of world history, God will deal with the nation of Israel when the Antichrist comes, as the Antichrist will be the one that will give permission to Israel to rebuild their temple once again on that side in Mount Moriah, where today stands a little dome of the spirits, where Solomon's temple used to stand in all glory at one time. Nothing's there today. But one day the temple will be rebuilt. And when that temple is rebuilt, the Bible gives us instruction already in the book of Revelation, that after 3.5 years, as the Antichrist makes peace with Israel, allows them to go back to Israel and rebuild their temple, in the middle of the 7-year tribulation period, 1,260 days, he will go into the temple built by the Jews, and he will sit on the throne and say, "I am God, worship me." And that's the point where Israel turns against him, and he turns against them, and he kills 2/3 of the Jewish nation as they're getting ready to flee to the city of Petra. Interesting. Today, this is the day that God talked about. To the house of Israel, the last house of Israel. But here he's talking to that culture, that time, to give them the first opportunity before the gospel would be given to the Gentiles and to the Samaritans through Jesus, through Paul, through Peter, through James, through all the apostles. Jesus says the message first has to go to my people, Israel. And what did Israel do? Well, look at verses 7 now, what he says. Because this is now where Jesus now begins to speak to them individually in such a way. The observation number 2, the purpose to preach and the purpose why we preach and the effects of preaching and teaching. Verse 7 says what? And as you go, this is what I want you to do. Notice we need to learn to follow instructions. Number 1, preach. Doing what? Saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Notice how he starts them out. That the kingdom of God is at hand. Warning them. Sharing with each one of them individually. Listen, I am here. The kingdom of God has drawn nigh. I am here to give to you the kingdom of God. You know what I love about that is that Jesus Christ came, died, rose again, went to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit. And here for the last 1900 years, what's happened? The Holy Spirit's been here with us. And I think of all the people today that I've heard through the internet, through radio, television, by reading books, or whatever it may be, the information given to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet to believe that there are people in this world, in the 21st century, that have never ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amazing. Amazing. And yet the Bible says that the gospel will be preached to every nation in the world before Jesus comes again. It will be preached. And who preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ? You, me. When we're at work, not during work time, on your break, or off, you know, when you're off, opportunity arises, a door is open, what do we need to do? Proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to who? To a lost world. A world that is lost. A world that is going to hell by the millions. And so the commission to us is, go you and preach. What? The kingdom of heaven, it's at hand. Warning people. Warning people. Not to become fanatics, but to be open to the Holy Spirit with a zeal. Being zealous for God. Warning our loved ones. Warning our friends. Warning the world what's going to take place in this kingdom. Very soon. And then he says this in verse 8. Heal the sick. Imagine that. Heal the sick. Now, there's no one here that can ever heal anybody, and I've never healed anybody. And yet there are men in our society, in this church age, that consider themselves healers. Healers. And they have crusades for healing. And it's one person praying for the multitudes of people. Here at Calvary Chapel, when we pray for people in a big congregation like this, and if we're having a service like a worship service, and we're going to have praying for the sick, then what we do is we call for the elders of the church to come to the front. And as people come up, the elders of the church will lay hands upon them. But it's not one individual person. Why? Because usually when people do that, they bring attention to themselves. And the glory goes to who? To Jesus. Not to the person. The person doesn't have the power of healing. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit that God will use our what? Faith to pray for that person, and their faith that makes them well. I'm not a healer. You're not a healer. And this is really important, because you can go to anybody in the body of Christ and say, can you please pray for me? I'm sick. And it could be any ordinary person, and they can lay hands on you and they can pray and you can be healed. It's a prayer of faith, the Bible says. And it's really important that we understand that here he's giving the command to the disciples, you guys go out, heal the sick, and then what? Cleanse the lepers. That's called Hansen's disease, medically speaking. We don't see that a lot here in America, but when you go to India, you go to Africa, you go over to China, you go to South America and some of the jungles, you will see people that are called leopards. And leprosy is a type of sin where a leopard in the early church, when Jesus was teaching, and there was a draft of wind, and the wind was going downstream, and I was walking downstream, and somebody was walking up to me at 100 meters, I would have to say, unclean coming through, get out of my way. Why? Because as a leper would come by and graze my garment, I, the person that was grazed by that garment, would become unclean until sundown, and I would have to go to the priest and give an offering for my cleansing. Leprosy is a real horrible, horrible disease. And then he says, raise the dead. Well, I've never seen anybody come back from the dead, but I've been to China, I've been to India, I've been all over the world, and I have seen and I have heard that people have given testimony that somebody was risen from the dead. I have never seen it. But it's really amazing that in the early century when Jesus was here, Jesus constantly was raising people from the dead. And then how about casting out demons? Can we cast out demons today? Yes. Are there demon activity in the world today? Yes. I've seen a lot of demon activity all over the world. And we have prayed for a lot of people that were demon possessed. It's amazing. Amazing. Cast out demons. And then he says this, freely you have received, freely give. Boy, that's a good one. Because how many people are stingy? Freely you have received, freely give. Be hospitable to people. Don't be stingy when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ and giving to people what God has given to you. And check this out, observation number 3, verses 9 to 10, the remaining unburdened. Now, provide neither gold nor silver nor copper, he says, in your money belts. Can you imagine that? He says, don't take anything, verse 10, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. It's amazing that when somebody wants to become a missionary in today's modern world, they want security. And there is no security when you work for the Lord. He's our security. Jesus here is telling them that as they're going out, that says, don't take a bunch of money with you, gold or silver or copper, he says, or money belts. He says, nor a bag for your journey. Just take what you need. Why? Because I will provide for you. God provides it. And yet, why is it that so many churches, so many people are constantly begging for funds? For money. On television, on radio. God doesn't need anybody to give anything. The reason we give to the Lord and we don't take, we receive, is because that is God's command to give to the Lord so that he can keep his work active. But he never, never told any pastor, any evangelist to beg for funds, ever. You don't read that in the New Testament. And here Jesus is setting now the priorities. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in money belts, he says, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff. For the worker, notice, is worthy of his labor, of his hire. God knows your worth. And the Lord will provide for you. He'll provide through people for you. But you don't have to tell people your needs. You pray. And then God provides those needs. The purpose of our mission. Notice what he says, the bless or the curse. In verse 11, he says, and now whatever city or town you enter in, inquire who's in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. Notice he doesn't even say check into a hotel. He says, when you go out in my name and I'm sending you, I'm going to clear the way and I'm going to touch people's hearts and they're going to invite you to stay in their house. They're going to take care of you. Imagine that. And yet here the Lord is saying, as you go, I will prepare the way. I will touch people's hearts. I'll open the door and then you can stay. You say, well, what about if they don't want you to stay in their house? Oh, well, Jesus had something to say about that too. Look what he says. Verse 12. And when you go into that house, what do you do? First thing, you greet it. You give your peace to it. You're kind. You're loving. Verse 13. And if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. You don't have to bless those people. You don't have to say one thing.
Well, today, as you think about your divinely given mandate to spread the good news of Christ, we encourage you to ask the Lord for the opportunities and the words to share his life-giving gospel with others. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Now, if you'd like to hear today's program again, we'll be glad to send you a complete CD copy for a gift of $5 or more. Simply call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's lesson titled, The Apostle's Mission. We'd also like to offer you a resource with more inspiration. Simply titled, The Call, this 5-message audio pack from Raul further explores how you've been set apart by God to serve as an ambassador of His hope and truth in a world that desperately needs them both. You'll see that when you follow the Lord in obedient submission to His will, He can work through you to accomplish a mighty eternal change in the lives of others. So act now to order The Call on 5 CDs. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 and we'll send you this life-shaping series from Raul for a gift of $20 or more. That phone number once again is 800-634-9165. Or if you prefer, you can write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Be sure to take advantage of all of our free Somebody Loves You resources as well. Our app is downloadable to both iPhones and Androids, and in addition to Raul's teaching, it also features an easy scripture reading plan as well as convenient access to digital Bible studies. We also encourage you to join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific for Straight Talk. It's a Q&A program that provides biblical guidance for godly living, and you won't want to miss out on it. Now, for Raul's teachings as podcast, be sure to use iTunes or Spotify to download any Somebody Loves You radio program. Our mission here is to support your spiritual growth with the wisdom of God's Word, and we welcome your thoughts on how we can best partner with you. Somebody Loves You Radio is made possible through the support of listeners like you, and your tax-deductible donations help keep these broadcasts on the air. Be sure and join us next time for the final message in this series. You'll see how intentional, regular time with the Lord will equip you to be used by Him as He works through you to restore the broken hearts and lives of others. Here's Raul now once again with a final comment.
Check this out, verse 14. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or that city, shake off the dust from your feet. You go like this. The Lord says, don't even waste your time with them. But he says, there is a curse to those that do not receive missionaries, those that do not receive God's people and honor them. Check this out, verse 15. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for one of that city. Wow. Imagine that. Too much is given, much more is required. Who gets the greatest judgment? Those that have had the truth of God. Sodom and Gomorrah and the city of Tyre will stand on the day of judgment in a greater way than these people that reject the truth of God when the chance was given to them.
I am falling in love.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.